President Obama's budget proposal for fiscal 16 will call for an end to sequestration. It will include a 7% spending increase. The total is about $74 billion. You can read more about the budget request on federalnewsradio.com. We will have a link to the budget request on our site Monday as soon as it's released. William Galston is Senior Fellow and Ezra K. Zilka Chair of the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution, former Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to President Clinton, and here to talk about the budget request and what it means for agencies across government. Mr. Galston, thank you very much for joining me on the program today. Why should we pay attention to this when it comes out on Monday and in the days after that, when Congress will change it probably very significantly by the time they pass something and send it to the president's desk? Thank you for joining me today.
Sure, my pleasure. By the way, just to correct the record, I was second in command in domestic policy. I don't want anybody to think that I was running the show.
My apologies for that.
That's okay. I think it's always important to know what the president of the United States believes and what he's willing to fight for. And that is what we're going to find out when the president's budget is unveiled. It is unlikely, of course, that a Congress entirely dominated by the Republican Party is going to accept the budget as written or even the basic framework, but that doesn't mean that every piece of it is going to be dismissed. And so various chairs, committee chairs on the and subcommittee chairs on the Republican side, no doubt will be sorting through it. The Republican leadership will also be looking, I think, for areas where it might be able to do business with the administration.
That's where I wanted to go next. I wonder if that will be how quickly we might get to that, given that Senator McConnell and Speaker Boehner have both said their intention is to return to regular order in this Congress. And I wonder if an early indication that they're looking for those lines of agreement with their colleagues across the aisle and with the White House might be a good sign that could lead us to think in March, April, May that the intention to go back to regular order might become reality.
Well, that's certainly possible. As you know, regular order when it comes to the budget begins with a budget resolution, an overall framework coming out of Congress to guide the appropriations process. And I don't expect that overall budget framework to resemble the president's budget very, very closely. I think, as a matter of fact, the divergence will likely be very wide. I find it very difficult to believe that a Republican Congress will be willing to bust through sequestration limits in the way that the president's budget reportedly will. It's a complicated question because there are many Republicans who think that the allocation for defense is too low and that the gap between what sequestration permits and what Defense Department needs is growing wider every year. And so the fiscal hawks are going to have to fight it out with the deficit hawks within the Republican Party to come up with a party position on that question. And there may be differences between the House and the Senate as well, although regular order will force the House and the Senate to come together on a single budget resolution and to do so by mid-April. So I think that the interesting action will occur when we move from the budget resolution to the specific appropriations bills, and there I think we can't dismiss the possibility that elements of what the administration will be asking for, category by category, may have some appeal on the other side of the aisle.
What can we take away? What can people inside the agencies take away from this, given what you said about this being an indication of what the president's willing to fight for? What should I read between the lines if I'm leading one of the executive branch agencies that will be impacted by this?
I hope you don't start planning for a significantly higher overall allocation starting October 1st, because of all of the outcomes, I think that's the unlikeliest. And I say that because there may well be some Republicans who would be willing to bust through the sequestration limits for defense. But I find it impossible to believe that the president would accept that without some parallel action on the domestic side. And I find it difficult to believe that this Republican Congress would really be willing to beef up domestic spending commensurately with defense spending. So I think I think the default setting for overall spending levels is that at the end of the day, when the dust settles, sequestration will remain the law, and it will be part of the Republican framework. But stranger things have happened.
Can you apply, do you think, any parallels to the situation that you were in when you were in the White House, Democratic president, Republican House, Republican Senate, to what we see today, or is it just too different to draw any parallels like that, sir?
Well, there are obviously some similarities. You had a Democratic president with some classic Democratic priorities, and you had a Republican Congress with very different priorities, determined to shrink the size of government. The difference was that the battle lines in 1995 and early 1996 were, I think, much, much clearer. President Clinton and the Democratic leadership by the middle of 1995 had settled on a fiscal strategy from which it never wavered. And that is, especially in the president's case, he accepted the principle of a balanced budget. President Clinton did. That was a big decision that he made in mid-1995 and shifted the terrain of battle from whether we should balance the budget to how we should do so. And President Clinton's line at the time was we should do it in a way that's consistent with our values, and that means protecting education, the environment, Medicare, and Medicaid, the famous mantra, and that we should balance the budget without taking it out of the programs in those areas. The situation right now is quite different because there is no agreement between the president and the Republicans in Congress as to what the overall objective of fiscal policy should be. And so you have a much more confused battle on many more fronts.
What else, Mr. Galston, should we be paying attention to when this document drops on Monday?
Well, many people in the Department of Defense have been complaining and warning that if the current budget lines budget trends continue, that we may be facing by the end of this decade a hollowed out armed forces, which is significantly deficient in the areas of readiness and also restocking of depleted supplies that have been depleted by now 13 years of warfare. And it will be very interesting to see, since the president is going to propose something like an additional $37 or $38 billion in defense spending, where that money goes. Will it be focused on readiness and resupply issues, which is where many military experts think it should? And will there be any effort to deal with the personnel side of the equation? And so I'll be really interested to see some of the internal features of the defense budget. I'll also be very interested to see what provision the budget makes for some of the priorities, the domestic priorities that the president has emphasized the most. How will he pay for his community college initiative? How will he pay for new programs or new efforts in the area of early childhood education and development, et cetera. So those details will be interesting, both in their own right for 2015, and also as possible planks of a Democratic Party presidential platform in 2016.